Welcome to the Graceway Weekly Message Podcast. At Graceway, our mission is to bring the future kingdom into the present, and we hope this message encourages you to know and enjoy God, find friends, discover your purpose, and make a difference in your community. Enjoy today's message.
All right, you guys have heard the rules. I'm going to give Pastor Jeremy a quote slash phrase, and he will have to work it into his message or not and pay the consequences.
Wow.
You know, that's how it goes. Here it is. Blaine Nye said, "Offensive linemen are like salt. Nobody ever remembers the brand they buy." All right. There you go.
Nobody ever remembers, including me.
Okay. That's right.
Great.
Iodized, not iodized, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. The time will start at the sound of my whistle.
All right, welcome to the Super Bowl of preaching, y'all. Hey, I want to say hey to our brothers at Graceway Crossroads and Ozarks Correctional. Y'all give it up for them. Now look, you're gonna have to be way louder than that throughout this service. It's gotta be really responsive. I am super excited to get this game started and to talk about the passage that we are all gonna be preaching from today. So if you got your Bibles, go to John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, Jesus for a couple of chapters has been talking to his disciples, making sure that they know that he is about to leave, right? That he's got a mission, he's gonna go to the cross, that we know he's going to the grave, that we know he's gonna resurrect, and then we know he's gonna ascend to the Father. And he, like a good coach, he is giving them some worthy advice. And in verse 33, he says this, "In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In the world, you will have tribulation. Now, this is a hard word for Jesus to share with us and with his disciples, because he's saying, look, you're not going to escape trouble. And in case you are unclear, the Bible associates the word tribulation with affliction, anguish, burdens, persecution, and trouble. And can anybody in this room or online identify with those words? All right, five of you are like, that's me, okay? And at face value, this really doesn't seem fair, right? I didn't sign up for trouble. I thought that when I became a Christian, I would be good, or maybe becoming a Christian would take all of my trouble away, right? We walk around like, God's never gonna put anything on me more than I can bear. That's not in the Bible. Right? And we say these things, but listen, trouble is coming. And we struggle with this, especially in the West, in the American church, because we think that only those things happen to bad people, right? Nothing bad's gonna happen to me. But there are, in fact, some of you who are right now in a season of tribulation or trouble, and you might even be questioning your faith, or you might be questioning the presence of God, or maybe you're like, maybe there's like some secret sin that I don't know that I'm committing and God is punishing me for that. But I want to help pastor you through those things and help you understand what Jesus is actually saying to us. And as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about what it takes for a team to win the big game, right? What it takes for them to do that. It's something that I love, a great concept. And even think about the folks that have started in the Olympics this weekend, right? How do I win this stuff? Well, it begins with the fundamentals. It begins with you being just doing the very basic things that you need to do. It's kind of like an offensive lineman who's like salt. Nobody remembers what brand they buy, right? That's what it's like. The weirdest thing I've said in a sermon to date. How do you win a game? By playing the fundamentals. It's fundamentals, right? Kansas City, you cannot win a game if you cannot catch a ball, right? If the quarterback throws it right here and you're wearing your stupid sticky gloves and you still can't catch the ball, fundamentally, there's a problem. And so in faith, we have fundamentals. Pastor Jeremy, why do you read your Bible in the morning? Why do you pray? Why do you worship? Well, because I'm a pastor and I should do that. No, that's not the answer. Well, because Pastor Tim told me to do that. No, also not the answer. Why? Because it's the fundamentals of faith, right? I do these things so that my Heavenly Father said to me, look, Jeremy, there is trouble coming. I get it, right? I'm in a season of grief right now, and I want you to be prepared for it. And we all know, right, these teams today who are going to play in the Super Bowl have spent hours reviewing each other's game footage. Why? So they can be prepared for the game. And there's a lot of us, I think, who don't practice our fundamentals, like reading the Bible, praying, and worshiping. And we find ourselves in a season of tribulation, grief, and we don't know how to handle it. So in James chapter 1, James says this, "The testing of your faith produces steadfastness." And I think sometimes we get it in our head that I'm going through something and God is testing me. But I want to flip the script on this and help you understand that what we can do on the flip of that is say, no, let me test my faith. God, you said that you would draw near to the brokenhearted. God, you said that you would give me peace. God, you said that you would provide for me. And when I begin to call out the promises of God and see his faithfulness in them, I'm allowed to then test my faith. And that testing produces a steadfast walk that I can go through these things with my faith intact. In fact, it might even give me a little swag that when I feel the enemies taunting me, I can go up to him and say, hey, guess what? Not today, buddy. Not today. I'm not mad. Next chapter of the Bible, there's two things I want us to take encouragement from. In chapter 17 of the book of John, Jesus is praying. The whole chapter is him praying. He's praying for three groups of people. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for people who believe and people who don't believe, right? And number one, in verse 15, he says to his father, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." And why keep us here where there's so much pain and suffering? Because God created you with a purpose. And that pain reminds you that what we are doing here is real. This is not some platitude, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven, it's going to be so much better. While all of that is true, our pain reminds us of how real what's happening here is. And we have to get rid of this idea that we're never going to have trouble. He said it to us twice. And sometimes that pain is aimed at you being able to help someone walk through their season of sorrow and grief when their time comes and you've walked through it already. This is also a great reminder that some of us are walking through these things without a Savior. And I would encourage you today to consider that Jesus will walk with you in these seasons of sorrow, of tribulation, and of grief. And then take comfort in this. Jesus also prays in that passage and says to the Father, "I have not lost one of them." And there are some of you who are experiencing a season like this who need to be reminded that God has not lost you, that you did not walk away, you didn't disappear from his presence, that God is right there beside you. What do we read in Psalm 23? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. My friends, take confidence in knowing that your Savior will never lose you. Come on.
We're going to start the second quarter, and if I could please have the student pastor extraordinaire, not my favorite. I'm not trying to play favorites. He is my favorite, but not my favorite in this game. Does that make any sense? No. I'm supposed to be neutral. Pastor Brandon Smith. All glory to God. All glory to God.
Amen.
What ice cream flavor would you have? Don't worry about
okay.
it. All right. He is blessed and highly flavored. Here's your phrase. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
The name on the front is a lot more important than the one on the back. Woody Hayes.
Thank you. No flags.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Oh, that's why you're being cool. I get it now. He's kind of trying to mellow it down from years
yes.
previous. All right. You will start at the sound of my whistle.
Yes, sir. Hey, everyone. Hey, once again, we're so glad that you are here with us. Pastor Jeremy did such a great job opening up this passage of scripture that we are all speaking on in the gospel according to John chapter 16, verse 33. And here's the thing about it. Like, we've all had a week where we seem like or feel like we cannot catch a break. Have you been there before? I mean, maybe your car didn't start. Maybe the bills are stacking up. You might have gotten a doctor's report that you were not expecting. And even when that happens, on the outside, you may be smiling, but yet on the inside, you're barely holding it together. And if we're honest, a lot of us can say that we've been to that place in our life. And it's that feeling where our heart feels heavy and our mind won't slow down. And we keep asking, how much more of this can I bear? You see, you know, I think about even with a championship team or a championship football game that's getting ready to take place. Like I know that they don't go into the biggest game out of the year and think it's going to be easy. They expect the hits to come. They expect to experience adversity. They expect to be able to experience resistance. And they know that they train their mindset in such a way that they can respond to the things that are going to happen. They're expecting the trouble to happen. They know that, according to the scripture, that they will experience trouble, or as Pastor Jeremy said, tribulations. They know that and they experience that, but they prepare their mind and to prepare their bodies for what they're getting ready to get to experience. And if you've been with us any amount of time over the last 3 years, I've said this as well, but if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And the championship team knows that. And even in our walk with the Lord, if you stay ready, then you don't have to get ready. And here we're encouraged that we will experience trouble. We will experience hard times. We will go through some things in our lives. And we have to know that, as Pastor Jeremy said also, that Jesus is speaking as a coach. He's speaking as a coach, and I can imagine this halftime speech going a little bit like this, coming in at halftime, being down by a few touchdowns or a few scores, or maybe at a intermission of a musical or something like that. I can experience or see Jesus coming in and being like, hey, I told y'all that you were going to experience some hard times. I told you that everything wasn't going to be perfect. I told you that it wasn't going to be all rainbows and unicorns. And I told you that the name on the front is a lot more important than the name that is on the back. And then he said this. So take heart. Take heart. What he's saying to the people and what he's saying to those that are participating in the game is, hey, don't be discouraged. Even in the face of fear, don't be weary. Don't lose heart. Take heart. And this is what take heart means. It actually means that Jesus is actually going to give us the strength that we need in the midst of what we are experiencing. He's going to give us the strength. And here we see that Jesus is getting ready to be arrested. In John 16, he's getting ready to be falsely accused. He's getting ready to go on a crazy trial. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be tortured, and ultimately, he's going to be crucified. And it could be really easy for us on the outside looking in, being like, hey, it would be justified for Jesus to be discouraged. It'd be justified for him to feel some type of way or feel fear or discouragement. But even in the midst of this, Jesus doesn't promise the removal of trouble. He commands resilience even in the midst. He commands resilience in the midst, and Jesus starts speaking directly to the inner life. He speaks directly to the inner life. He's speaking to fear, speaking to discouragement, to anxiety, and even this inner spiral that most of us go through at times that nobody else sees. Nobody else sees. It's like this iceberg model where you see 10% of the iceberg, but yet 90% underneath nobody sees. And the same thing that's going on in this passage of scripture, Jesus is saying, in this world, you will go through some hard times, but take heart. Take heart. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it actually says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And here, we got to know that circumstances don't have to control your courage. Circumstances don't have to control your courage. You can guard your heart. And to find courage, it means that you are able to come up with the strength to stand even in the face of challenging circumstances. That's what it means to take heart. That's what it means to take courage. And when we guard our heart, we know that we're guarding it amongst the many different things that try to fill our lives. many different things to try to fill our lives that when we give those things the attention, they start spreading inwardly like a poison, eating away everything on the inside, and then it spreads outwardly. And then people start seeing that. And then that's when they're able to say, hey, take heart. Hey, take courage. It could be one thought, one fear. It could be one what if statement. It could be any of those things, and suddenly your whole heart is overwhelmed. But once again, faith does not have to control or have to start with your control. Faith does start with perspective. It does not start with control. It starts with perspective. So we got to allow our perspective to shift from looking with the eyes of right here that we have physically and start looking with the eyes of our heart. We got to start looking with the eyes of our heart. That old song says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Psalm 27, verse 14, it goes on to say this, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This was thousands of years before Jesus even entered the scene in the flesh. And we hear the Lord is encouraging us that we can let our hearts to take courage, because God has always been concerned with what's happening inside of us when everything else is shaking. God's always been concerned with that. So then when Jesus came to the scene, he's told us that you will experience hardships. You will experience trials and tribulations. But even in the midst, you can take heart. Jesus doesn't say fix everything. He says take heart. When there's a little bit more month than money, Jesus says take heart. When you have a loved one that has gone astray, Jesus says take heart. When you get the doctor's report that isn't going your way, he says take heart. When you get let go of your dream job, from your dream job, he says, take heart. When you don't know what you're going to do when you graduate from school, he says, take heart. And when someone talks about you behind your back, or a friend says some things that aren't accurate about you, he says, take heart. When the storms don't quiet down, he says, take heart. It's like this old song. I'm not going to sing. I'm going to spare your ears today. But there's this old song. If you know it, then you can go ahead and say it with me. But it says this, but if the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep on blowing, my soul, I don't know about your soul, but my soul has been anchored in the Lord. So once again, friends, Jesus doesn't deny difficulty. He redefines our confidence. So whatever you walked in here carrying, my encouragement to you is to say it with me. Take heart. Amen. God bless you.
Hey, we are starting our third quarter with no other than the man himself, Pastor Jeff Adams. All right, sir, are you ready for your phrase
sure,
that you need
man.
To?
Yeah.
Now, Pastor Jeff's notorious for, he thinks he gets a set amount of points if he reads this at one point in a sermon. This guy likes to do a lot of it, so don't go too much.
Oh,
I've got
okay.
flags burning a hole in my pocket. All right? Here's your phrase. It's a funny thing. The more I practice, the luckier I get. Okay. All right. I think
it.
That he could do this. Now, don't start.
Okay.
I don't want to get you for a false start. Your time will start at the sound of my whistle.
Buenos dias, Graceway! Yeah! Are you ready for some more preaching? Okay, all right, and muchas gracias to our halftime show, the Good Bunnies. You know, one of the things that I love about the Super Bowl is confidence, man. Those players, they come on the field and they have trained, they practice, they've got a game plan. And for a moment anyway, every one of us is convinced this is their day, right? And that one of the many things that I love about Pastor Tim is his confidence, man. He comes onto the field. He is one confident cat. I love that about him. I think that's great. He really believes he's going to get a three-peat today. And you know, I think that'd be great, man. I've got some of those myself. But just remember, my friend, when you come out of that tunnel onto the field, I've done that maybe three or four times more than you have. All right? No, I say that lovingly. Yeah, but just remember, my children are older than you are. But that's okay. He's a great young player. And a lot of respect among people at this level. And I think he's cute. Okay? So. But here's what we know about confidence. You've got to have confidence. And we know this about confidence, whether you're an athlete or not, it can disappear in a heartbeat, right? All it takes is one injury, one bad play, and in life it could just be a phone call, it could be a doctor's report, it could be a relationship that's going south, it could be just a lot of things, and all of a sudden that confidence that you once felt is no longer there. I mean, it just happens, and that's why confidence is so important. And this morning what I want to do is I want to talk to you about where that confidence really comes from. Okay, anybody want to know why you can have confidence all the time? Okay, at least three or four of you do. If anybody else wants to know, you can join right in, okay? But let me tell you something. Win or lose, you ain't going to take my confidence. And there's a reason for that, okay? It's all because of three simple but powerful words that Jesus said in our text this morning in John chapter 16. He said, listen very carefully, it's not hard. I have overcome. Say it with me. I have overcome. Right. Now, he did not say that you have overcome. He didn't say I have overcome. He didn't say it's going to be fine. He didn't say things are going to work out if you just stay positive. He said, I have overcome. Who overcame? Thank you. Good class. Y'all get an A today. That's wonderful. But this is important because it tells us something very fundamental about hope. Our hope is not rooted in a game plan. Our hope is rooted in a person, and his name is Jesus. You know, plans are part of life. And they are important. We've got plans for our career. We've got plans for our finances, plans for our kids, plans for our retirement. Plans are good. Please don't misunderstand me. I do plans for a living. That's what I do, okay? But plans depend upon circumstances cooperating, and they don't necessarily do. But I can tell you what, it's a funny thing about this. The more I practice, the luckier I get. Well, when Jesus says, I have overcome, he is not denying that life is hard. He's not pretending that pain doesn't exist. He's not offering some of the cliches that we throw around at church. Here's what Jesus is saying with that. He's saying, before you face today, you had better remember who I am. And I'm the one that has overcome. Now, how do you grow in that confidence? This is how confidence grows, y'all. It's when you shift your faith from wanting God to do something, your desires and all your wants, to have faith in Christ alone. Because you know that whatever happens, no matter how bad, how good, ultimately, he has overcome. Past, present, future, he's got it all. So think of it this way. If your confidence is tied to the way things turn out, whether you win or lose or whatever that, you're only going to be confident when life is predictable. But if your confidence is in Christ, you can be steady even when life is chaotic and things don't work out the way that you thought. Why? Because your faith is in Jesus and you know that ultimately he's the guy that said, I have overcome. Right? This is where it gets really practical. When fear rises, and it will, we remember who Jesus is. And it comes from rehearsing. We rehearse fear all the time, right? That conversation we just had, what does she mean by that? We go through all the worst case scenarios. We wake up at 3 a.m. We're doing these mental replay reels of the worst thing that could possibly happen. And so what we must do is learn that we remember who Jesus is. When I feel alone, I remember he's present. When I feel uncertain, I remember he is faithful. When there are things that I just can't control, I remember he is stronger. I remember he's the one that said, I have overcome. Now, here's what I want to leave with you, okay? When what you believe about Jesus determines how you face today. If you believe that Jesus is distant, then today you're going to feel pretty lonely, all right? If you believe that Jesus is just an idea or a concept, you're going to have a pretty foggy day. If you believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he is present and victorious and faithful, then even your hardest day does not have the last word. He's got the last word. I have overcome. And so I want you to remember that you are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from victory, from the one who said, I have overcome. Because confidence doesn't come from pretending that everything is okay. It comes from remembering who Jesus is. He's the one that says, I have overcome. Say it with me. I have overcome. And you get that, and you will get everything. And the more you practice that, the better you'll get. All right?
Going into the fourth quarter, we've got number four, the Ohio Riz, Pastor Tim Dunn. Left him hanging. Wow, we need some, that was your teammate you left hanging over there. That's okay, don't turn around now. Trying to make up for lost ground, see? Not too much. How you feeling?
Fantastic.
As always.
Indeed.
I've got your phrase here.
Okay.
From Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Perfect. Lovely.
Love it. You can hold on to it, whatever we're doing there.
Okay. All right.
A little bit awkward. Time will start 8 minutes at the sound of my whistle.
Graceway, are you enjoying yourself today? Yeah, me too, but I'm really just here so I don't get fined. Okay. I'll use it again. Calm down. Pastor Jeff, I want you to know that I love you. What? I wanted him to be able to hear me. I wanted to thank him for everything he's done many years ago. Respectfully. If I lose a Super Bowl over that, I'm going to be mad. I'm just telling you. And my notes just went blank. Let's give it a shot. Here we go. John 13-16 is what's known as Jesus' farewell discourse. He has gotten all of his disciples together, and he has begun to prepare them for what was going to come next. He squared to this reality that in this world they were going to face trouble. And it's gracious of God to let us know, right? Because sometimes we're surprised with what we see on the news. Sometimes we're surprised with what we feel in our heart. But Jesus says, listen, in this world, this broken world with broken systems and broken sinners, you're going to get bumped into from time to time. And so he squares them to this reality, but he also squares them to this promise. Take heart, I win. Take heart, I win. And this isn't some warm fuzzy. This isn't some warm hug that Jesus is giving them. This is a declaration, not only to the disciples, but to the gates of hell, to the angels of heaven, and to you and I today. The word that Jesus used, world, is the word for cosmos. It's the word that shows up in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the cosmos. Work with me here, all right? I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'll use it again. Hang in there. God so loved the cosmos that he gave his only son. And then it shows up in John chapter 7 talking about how rebellious the world is, how broken the world is. Come on, don't be surprised when the world is messed up. Don't be surprised when the people who politic and tell you they're going to help you don't. Don't be surprised when people who have authority don't use it for our blessing. Don't be surprised when there's more month than money. Don't be surprised when your head isn't telling you what your heart knows is true. Don't be surprised. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. The world is broken, but take heart. God loves the world. And Jesus is speaking here with an incredible amount of certainty, isn't he? He's speaking here with an incredible amount of certainty for you and I, and he is giving to us this certainty. I wonder, no matter what you're facing right now, I wonder, no matter what you're believing right now, if you can maybe lay hold of what Jesus is saying. Here's what he's saying. Who could we be if we understood that we can't lose? Who could we be if we understood, not according to your strength, as Pastor Jeff said, and not according to who's sitting in D.C., and not according to how much money you got sitting in the bank, and not according to how handsome or beautiful or strong or flexible you are, but according to Jesus, Jesus with absolute certainty says, you might have 99 problems, but winning ain't one. Jesus says, you can be certain in this world, there will be times when the clock is running down and it looks like you're gonna lose. It'll be time that there will be times that it looks like the forces of evil are going to stand up and take control. There will be times when you feel like, God, where are you and why are you doing this to me? And Jesus, to his disciples, to the gates of hell, to the angels of heaven, and to you and I, says, you can be certain. When that clock strikes zero, I win. Now, this is easy for me to say, and it's hard for us to believe, isn't it? Because you've seen the news. Because you've woke up with that feeling. Because your marriage is where your marriage is. Because your mental health is where your mental health is. Because there's more month than money. Because the world feels so profoundly broken and so profoundly diabolical, doesn't it? And so in Jesus' kindness, he says, don't get it twisted, fellas. Don't get it twisted, sis. I win. I wonder if today, by God's Holy Spirit and by God's grace, you could lay hold on this claim. If you could just take God at his word, especially for those of you who are struggling, especially for those of you who feel like God is this. And I wonder if you could hear, you can't lose. I wonder if you could hear, no matter what the doc says, you can't lose. No matter what your spouse who's packing up her stuff says, you can't lose. No matter how long the kid's been running the wrong direction, you can't lose. Listen, if you have Jesus, you can't lose, because even if you bump into trouble, you can take heart. Jesus overcomes the world. I love this old hymn from 1992. There's just something about that name. Do you know it? Jesus. Jesus. Come on, sing it with Jesus. There's just something about that name. Come on, put a little swag into it. Master, Savior, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, they will all pass away. But there's something, come on, somebody, there's something about that name. Come on, the world is lying to you. Come on, the marketing's not real. Come on, it looks like it's going to be bad, but it's all hollow, it's all fake, it's all a straw man. If you follow Jesus, take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. Take heart, Jesus wins. Take heart, if you have Jesus, you win too. This is the good news of the gospel. Come on, if you're here today and you haven't followed Jesus with your entire life, you're on the losing side, baby. You're on the losing side. You're believing a lie. You're following a straw man. There are hollow promises that you have banked your eternity to. But if you're in Jesus, and if you haven't given your life to Jesus, you could today, and we'll baptize you in the next service. Come on, somebody. But if you are in Jesus, if you are in Jesus, come on, stand up a little straighter. Come on, be a little bit more confident. Come on, hang on to that hope. Come on, persist in that peer. Take heart. He has overcome, and he's our king. We get to follow him. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Come on, say amen if you're with me today. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.